We're here on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the two dots about 12 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. We're starting a new sugya called Mechusar Begadim. The Gemara asks me, Nolan, from whence do we derive that Mechusar Begadim is Avodoso Mechuleles? Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Umatu Be Mishmei. Some quote this in the name of Rabbi Lozov, Rabbi Shimon. The Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, with regard to Big Day Kahuna, the mitzvah of Big Day Kahuna is presented by the Torah at the end of Sefer Shmos in Perek Chof Tes, and it says there, Vesbonav Takriv Vilbashtam Kutanos, Vechagarta Osam Avnet Aaron Ubonav Vilbashta Vechavashta Lahem Migbos, v'hoysalahem kuhuna lechukas olam. So according to this drush of Rabbi Yochanan, the key words here in the pasuk are lechukas olam. And when does this chuka become activated? When it's v'hoysalahem kuhuna, when they're wearing the begadim, which they're required to wear. The Torah is talking about the migbos and the avnet and so forth. And this makes them into kuhuna lechukas olam. What does it mean it makes them into v'hoysalehem kuhuna? That wearing the begadim makes them into kohenim. We would have said that a kohen is born a kohen, and he's royal avoda because he's born a kohen. Again, you could have psur apostle if he's a balmum or he became tummy, but... In the absence of any psul, he's a Kohen, let him do the avoda. No. He needs a step, a very important precondition, in order to become a Kohen for avoda. Bizman shebigdem alem, kunosam alem, ein bigdem alem, ein kunosam alem. They're considered like a czar until they wear the begadim. And therefore their avoda is mechulelis, like we learned back on Daf Tesvav, that the czar's avoda is mechulelis. So this is what I call Roman numeral number one in the sugya of Mechusar Begadim, that Rabbi Yochanan derives from the words V'hoysalahem kuhuna, that Bizman shebigdem aleim kuhunasam aleim, that in the absence of the Begadim they're considered like a czar. Now we get to Roman numeral number two. The Gemara is going to quote now a brice that has a different source for Mechusar Begadim. Va mehacha nafka? I have a different pasuk. Mehasam nafka, desanyu, we have a brisa minayin l'shesuya yayin. Now this brisa has a resha, the opening part, and a sefer. The resha addresses the issue of shesuya yayin. We know that a kohen who drinks a revius yayin is not allowed to do the avoda, and if he does the avoda, his avoda is mechuleles. And the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk here to prove that. Minayin l'shesuyayin shebovet chilel tamid lomar. It says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns Aaron HaKohen in Vayikra Perek Yud, Yayin v'shechar al teisht ata uvanecha itoch bevoachem el olmoid v'lo samusu chukas olam l'dorosechem. So we should emphasize here in this pasuk in Vayikra Yud, the lo samusu and chukas olam. We'll come back to those two phrases in just a minute. That's in pasuk tes. Now we fast forward to pasuk yud. So we're now in the 10th chapter and the 10th pasuk in Vayikra. And it says, ulahavdil bein hakodesh ubein hachol. This will separate an avoda, which is called an avodas kodesh, when there was no intoxication, as opposed to an avoda, which is chol, which is mechuleles, because they violated yayin v'shechar al teisht, and they were halachically considered drunk. I wouldn't say that someone who drank a revius yayin is called drunk in our language, but in the language of the Torah, that's called shesui yayin, or revius yayin, which is approximately, I don't know, 4 ounces of wine. It's enough to impair their judgment, so that therefore they apostle avoda. And the Torah says, "V'lo samusu," and lahavdil ben kodesh ben achol. So we know clearly that a shesuyayin who does the avoda is mechuleles. Now the Braisa continues what I call the Seifa. The last part of the Braisa is Mechusa Begadim V'shalo Rachutz Yadayim Raglayim. How do we know, Minayim, that in these cases where the Kohen is not wearing the Begadim or he hasn't done Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, that his Avodah is Mechuleles? And now we turn to Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Talmud Lomar Chuka Chuka L'Gzeira Shav. In other words, in Shesu Yayin in Pasuk Tes here in Vayikra Yud, it says Chukas Olam, and in Mechusa Begadim, or someone who wasn't Mekadesh Yadayim V'Raglayim, it also uses the word Chuka. That's back at the end of Shmos where it says L'Chukas Olam, as we saw earlier. And we make this equation that just like in the case of Shesuyayin, the Torah says, Lahavdo ben Kodesh L'chol, to teach us that Shesuyayin is Mechal is Avodah, so too in the Chukah of Levishas Begadim, the absence of Begadim is Mechal the Avodah, like in Shesuyayin, because of this equation. So why did Rabbi Yochanan need to quote the Drasha and the makar, the source for Mechusa Begadim from the pasuk of Ahaisal Lahem Kahuna, when it should be derived from Gzeirah Shavah Chuka Chuka from Shesu Yayin? And the Gemara answers, Imi Hasam, if we only could derive Mechusa Begadim from the Gzeirah Shavah Shesu Yayin. Keep in mind that in the parasha of Shesu Yayin it says, Velo Samusu. So we're talking about a Kohen who's a Shasu Yayin and does an Avodah for which he's Chayav Misa, Misa Videi Shamayim. And therefore we would have assumed that when is Shasu Yayin Mechal is Avodah, that's only Hani Mili Avodah, the Zar Chayav of Misa. That again, if we're Mafkir the Kedushas Kohuna by virtue of the fact that he's a Shasu Yayin, he has the status of a Zar, what Avodah of a Zar would generate a Chayav Misa? And for that we have to know a sugya in Yuma on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. There the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Bamidbar Perik Yud Ches. It says Vavadetem Avodas Matona Vazar HaKorev Yumos, that if the Zar usurps the Avoda of a Kohen, he's Chayav Misa. What kind of Avoda is a Kohen? The Torah specifies it's Avodas Matona. There are four categories of an avodas matona. Avodas matona means where the avoda brings something on the mizbeach. There's number one, zrikas adam. Number two, haktora on God the mizbeach. Number three, and this is for sukkahs, nisach hamayim. And number four, in the sach and the rest of the year, nisach hayayim. These are all avodas matona. If the zar implements one of those four avodas matona, then he's chayav misa. Other matonos, which are called avodas siluk, for example, Trumas Hadeshin, which you take things off the Mizbeach, or for example, Kabbalah Saddam, Holocha Saddam, right now he's not doing an Avodas Maton, he's not putting anything on the Mizbeach, so in these cases, the Zar would not be Chayav Misa. And since in the Parsha of Shesu Yayin it says Velo Samusu, then we would limit the din of Lahavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol, meaning the Chil Avoda in the case of Shesu Yayin, to those Avodos which a Zar, if he would implement them, would be Chayav Misa. Avol Avodah D'Ein Zar Chayav Alel Misa. The other Avodahs, like we mentioned, the Avodah Siluk, and, you know, Shechita, Kabbal Saddam, and Zrika Saddam, and Alocha Saddam, in these cases, which are not Avodahs Matana, and there's no Chiv, it doesn't generate a Chiv Misa in the case of a Zar, I might think that there's no Chil Avodah. It's called Mashmalah. Now we need the drash of Rabbi Yochanan, Mihoysa Lehem Kuna, which means that without the Levishas Big Day Kuna, they're considered Zarim, and they're Mechal all their Avodos, just like a Zar is Mechal all Avodos. It's true that in many of these Avodos, there would not be a Chiv Misa, because that's limited only to four Avodos, but nevertheless it would be a Chil Avodah, because any Avodah done by a Zar, whether it's Avodas Matan, Avodas Siluk, whatever it might be, is Mechuleles. And in the case of Levishas Big Day Kahuna, because the Torah says Bizmancha Big Day Malayim Kunosam Alayim, but if they don't have the Begadim, they're like a Zar, then all Avodas become possible. And that's the Chiddush that Rabbi Yochanan derives from the parasha of V'haisa Alehem, V'haisa Alehem Kahuna. So the Gemara now asks, Ashkechan, we now have derived the chila voda from mechusab kapar, from mechusab begadim, and that extends it to all avodas. But shesuya yayin, where the Torah says v'lo samusu, we should limit the lahavdu ben kodesh l'chol, meaning the chila avoda, to only an avoda which is v'lo samusu, which would generate a chiv mis in the case of a zar. But what about an avodah that ain't zar chayav lemisa minayin? How do we know that a shesuyayin is mechal is avodah? We can't derive from lahavdil because it says v'lo samusu. And the answer is asya chuka chuka mimechusar begadim. In other words, until now we were of the impression that the melamed is shesuyayin and the gzeira shav chuka chuka is to spill the yayin from the shesuyayin over to mechus begadim and to derive mechus begadim from shesuyayin. Now the Gemara is reversing it, that the real source for the din of chil avoda is the mechus begadim, where the Torah says kunasim aleim only when they're wearing the begadim, and now through chuka we can derive chil avoda and shesuyayin. Which really means that the whole pasuk of Lahavdil Bein Kodesh L'Chol is completely superfluous and unnecessary. We'll get to that a little bit later. But right now, the Gemara wants to know whether or not a Shesuyayin is Mechal HaZavoda, even if it's Ein Hazar Chayv Alev Misa. And the answer is yes, because of the Gzeirah Shava to Mechusa Begadim, in which case Shesuyayin is the Nilmad and Mechusa Begadim is the Malami. That's the source to teach you that even in an avoda she'en azar chayelav misa, nevertheless the avoda is mechuleles in mechusa begadim, because otherwise, without the begadim, the status of the kohen is that is equivalent to that of a zar. And in the case of shesuyayin, by virtue of the chuka, the shesuyayin is also mechal all his avodos. So now the Gemara says we have a problem with the brisa, because the brisa in its resha, Vatana ulahavdil bein konosifli, quotes the pasuk ulahavdil bein kodesh l'chol. The Tana, the Brisa, clearly finds the source for chil avod in the case of shuliyayin in the pasuk ulahavdil. Why is that necessary? Why not derive the psul and the chil avod in the case of shuliyayin from the gzeir shavat to mechusa begadim, where the Torah says without the begadim you're a zar? So the Gemara answers, you have to read the Brisa in a specific way. Makami de lekum gzeir shav. The resha of the Brisa is before the Brisa revealed and presented the gzeir shav. Once we have the gzeir shav, enochinami, we don't need the pasuk lahavdil bein kodesh l'chol. The Gemara is going to explain in a minute in the name of Rav why what we do learn from the pasuk lahavdil bein kodesh l'chol. But basically, shesuyayin and the psul and the chil avoda in shesuyayin could be derived from the gzeir shav to mechusar begadim. But the Gemara says, you know, I'm not happy with that knetch in the Brisa, because v'atana mechusa v'gadim hu dekayolef mishesuyayin. It's crystal clear from the Brisa that the gzeirah shavah of chuka is introduced in order to derive mechusa v'gadim from shesuyayin. And you're telling me now that mechusa v'gadim is derived from the pasuk of v'haisalahem kahuna, and then you're going to introduce the gzeirah shavah of chuka to teach you something about shesuyayin, the scope and the extent of the chil avoda. But the Tana, the Mishnah, clearly uses the gzeirah shavah to derive mechusa begadim from shesuyayin. So the Gemara answers, hachi kamer. This is how that we have to interpret the Brisa. And maybe the Gemara here is at this point changing a little bit the gears in the Brisa. I'm not sure. The Gemara is saying now that at the beginning of the Brisa, we derive chil shesuyayin from the pasuk lahavdil. Now we have the gzeirah shava, but again, if we only have lahavdil, we're limited to v'lo samusu, to an avodah shechayev alev misa, zaris chayev alev misa, minayin shelo nachlok bein mechusa begadim l'shesuyayin v'shelo rochutz yadayim raglayim. How do we know that, just like in mechusa begadim there's a chil of all the avodas, even an avodah she'ein chayav and le'azar misa, so too in shesuyayin, how are we going to derive that? Talmud lomer chuka l'gzeirah shava. So it comes out like this, that according to the Gemara's reinterpretation of the Braisa, there's a source for Chil Avoda in Mechusar Begadim, and that's the Pasuk Haisalehem Kuhuna. There's a source for Chil Avoda in Shesuyayin, and that's Lahavdil. But now I have a problem, because in the case of Mechusar Begadim, it's clear that his status is that of a Zara, and therefore any Avoda is possible. In the case of Shesuyayin, since it says Lo Samusu, I don't know that any Avoda, even an Avoda She'eino Chayv Alav Misa, is also Mechulela, so for that I need the Chuka Chuka. And the Gemara says, Ella, but now if you're telling me that you have this Gezeirah Shava, then you might as well circumvent the need for the Pasuk Lahavdil, meaning, if you want to know, answer the question, what's the source, from whence do we derive that this Chil Avoda, in the case of Shesuyayin, even if it's Avoda Shein Chayov Alav Misa, the answer is Chuka Chuka, we can derive it from Mechus Begadim. Is therefore Lahavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol, Ben Kodesh Ben Achol, Lomali, what are we going to do with this Pasuk? So it means that the Braisa initially, when it quotes the Pasuk Lahavdil Ben Kodesh Ben Achol, was thinking without the Gzeira Shava. But ultimately the Bryce has to admit that we must introduce the Gzeira Shava in order to expand the scope of Chil Avoda in the case of Shuyayin to include all Avodos. But now we have to turn around and ask ourselves, so why do I need Lahavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol? The whole Pasuk is superfluous. L'kidarav. The Gemara answers, we need it for the statement of Rav. De Rav lo mukim amora ale miyom atava l'chavre. If Yontif was a day of drinking wine, because that's part of the Simcha of Yontif, he would not set up his miturgamon to darshan and transmit the halacha to Klal Yisrael, to the call of Klal Yisrael, by waiting from the Sudas Yontif until the following day, Mishum Shikras, because the Yayin that he ate in his Sudas Yontif would have an influence and impair his judgment, and he's not allowed to be Mora Halacha B'shikra. So when he stood in front of the call would ask him questions in halacha, he would have to be absolutely sure that he's not under the influence of any intoxicating beverage, and he won't make any mistake as a result. So therefore he's not allowed to judge and teach on that day. He's got to wait till tomorrow, and this is derived from the pasuk that addresses Aaron and Cohen in Bodav, and it says, Yayin v'sheich al teish ato bimcha itach. Ato banech itach bevachem al ol moed ulahavdil bein hakodesh bein hachol, and lahavdil bein hakodesh l'chol means that the chacham has to be mavdil, he has to be more what's kadosh and what's chol, what's also what's mutter, and he can't do that in the state of shikrus. The Gemara now goes back to ask the question of why do we need a pasuk for Mechusa Kapara, the pasuk of for Isalem Kuhuna Kata Mehocha Nafka Mehasam Nafka? I have another pasuk which teaches me the law of Mechusa Begadim, and that's in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, when the Kohen is being commanded to light the fire on the Mizbeach, that's called Hatzotzas Eish al Mizbeach. The pasuk says, V'nosnu Bnei Aaron. And I'm going to skip the next word, Eish al HaMizbeach, but then it says, V'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen Eish al HaMizbeach. So within the context of this mitzvah of setting up the fire on the Mizbeach for the purpose of HaKtaras HaKarbon, the Torah added the extra word ha-Kohen. It says b'nei Aaron, so we know it's ha-Kohen. Why did the Torah add ha-Kohen? B'chihuno, he becomes a Kohen, not by birth. He's b'nei Aaron, that's true, but heredity is not enough. It's not just a genetic code, but he needs to be lovesh the begadim. And that mitzvah begins with the Hatzotzas Ha'esh. Then he becomes HaKohen, Aaron HaKohen, and he's Koshel Avod. Limit al Kohen Gadol, Shalovash Bigday Kohen Hejod Vi Avad Avodasa Psula. In other words, the Torah is addressing Aaron HaKohen to tell you that the Kohen Gadol, Aaron HaKohen Gadol, it's not enough for him to serve as a Kohen Gadol that he wears the begadim of a Kohen Hejot, but he has to wear the additional four begadim of a Kohen Gadol. So now the Gemara is asking, why do we need this pasuk of Enosnu B'nei Aaron HaKohen for a drasha that a Kohen Gadol should not he's mechalas avod if he doesn't wear all the begadim of a kohen gadol. We already know from the parsha of Bigdei Kohuna that a kohen has to wear his begadim. Otherwise, he's like a zar and his avodus mechulelas imihasam. The Gemara says, if we only had the pasuk of ha'isol lahem, hava mina hanimili, that only applies in the case of an avoda demi akva kapara. For example, you need zrika to generate the kapara, and here he has to wear the begadim. Hava avoda de loma akva kapara. For example, placing the fire on the mizbeach, that's only a prerequisite, you know, that's just an introduction to set up the mizbeach with a fire, but it's not part of the avodah ha ma'akeves es ha-kapora. Lo, he doesn't have to do this avodah in Bigdei Kohuna. It's only a technicality, it's a mechanical act to set up the mizbeach by lighting the fire. And therefore, we need this special limud to command and be mitzava the kohen in the mitzvah of Bigdei Kohuna, even when he's doing a hatzosas ha'esh, when he is lighting the fire. Now, what does this mean, avodah lo ma'akva? Well, you know, you need a fire on the mizbeach. I mean, that's clear. But the truth is that you don't need an active human participation in creating that esh. The Gemara in Yuma says that during the course of Bais Rishon, there was a constant daily miracle in which the Eish came down from Shemayim onto the Mizbech. So there's no specific Chiyuv Avoda on the Kohen to light the fire. But the Pasuk wants to tell you, V'nosnu b'nei Aaron HaKohen Eish al HaMizbech, that even this Avoda, which they don't have to do, nevertheless, Chathchile should do them with Bigdei Kohuna, and they should be Roy as a Kohen Ha'Oved. Vakati mihochenafka, and the Gemara now questions whether or not we need the pasuk of ahoysol lahem to derive mechusa begadim the chilul avoda mehasam nafka. Have another pasuk and another limud in the mitzvah k'toras olas nedava in Vayikra perek aleph pasuk ches. It says v'archu bnei Aaron, and again the extra word hakohenim es hanesachim es harosh ves hapoder al eitzim ashal aish. Hashalom is beach. The word hakohen, hakohenim, is absolutely superfluous. Hakohenim bichihunam. There's got to be a levishas bigdei kohen. We can, and what do we derive from this? The kohen hejot shalavash bigdei kohen gadol. If the kohen hejot, instead of wearing his four begadim, he wore eight begadim v'yavad, avodasa psula. So why do I need that? We already have derived from v'hoysol lahem kuhuna that the kuhuna depends upon the Bigdei Kohuna. If you're talking about a kohen gadol who only wears four begadim and he needs to wear eight begadim, that's one thing. But if you're talking about a kohen hejot who needs to wear four begadim and he wore those four begadim, but he's also wearing the additional begadim of a kohen gadol, then Yesh Bechal Masayim Mana, he's wearing the begadim. So that's called Yitur begadim. He's wearing too many begadim, but he has the basic the required begadim. And therefore, in such a case, I would say that his avodah is not mechulas kamashmal. I need this limud to teach me that even in the case of Yitur begadim, wearing extra begadim, the avodah is mechulas. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a brice. Now, this brice is going to list the details that apply to Bigdei Kohuna, which incomplete or problematic Bigdei Kohuna are possible, and which b'di'eved are kosher. So first the Braisa lists three cases where b'di'eved, the begadim are ksherim, not l'chatchila, but b'di'eved. And what are these three cases? This is Merushalim, Misulakim, and Mishuchakim. So he did the avoda wearing begadim that fit into one of these three categories. Merushalim means they were too long for his body, they're dragging on the ground. Misulakim means they are uplifted from the ground, meaning they're too short. And Mishuchakim means they're old begadim and he did the avoda. The avoda requires that it should be done with new begadim, crispy new. And not only that, the begadim should be kimidaso shel kohen. This is specifically appropriate or relevant to the kutonos, and if the orech is too long or it's too short, the Braisa says, okay, b'di'eved, the avodus k'shera, l'chadchilu is a mitzvah that should be k'midoso shel kohen. Now we get to the second category listed here in the Braisa, those cases where it's going to be mechusa begadim and the avodas mechuleles, even b'di'eved is possible, lova shnei mechnasayim shnei avnetim, if he's yiter begadim, he adds an extra beged, or in the flip case, chaser achas, he left out, he omitted one of the begadim, or for example, Yaser Achas. In other words, he added a beggar that's not me big day kuhuna. You know, he got cold, so he wore his winter coat. That also is a posel in big day kuhuna. In other words, when the Torah says he should wear the begadim, he's got to wear those begadim to the exclusion of any other begadim. O shahai salo retia al makas bisaro, or he wore a bandage over his wound on his body in such a way that it's separated between the basa, the flesh of the kohen, and the big day kohuna. That's called a chatzitza. And the Torah says, "Vayikra yivav yilbash al bisaro." It's got to be al bisaro, directly connected to his basar. Then we have another case of tachas bigdo, which means that he set up some sort of chatzitza between his beged and his basar, and his flesh. Oh, shahayu mitushtashim, oh, mikoroim, if his begadim were soiled with cement, or we'll see later on, the Gemara is going to talk about some sort of avak of dirt and filth, and mikoroim means they're ripped in such a way that even though they're brand new, but they're considered like old begadim because they're ripped. Again, they still have a shame beged. It's not completely ripped. In all these cases above, in the whole enumeration, he has the avad. If he did the avod in any of these situations, avodasa psula, it means that these begadim are not ru'uyim la'avoda. And therefore, as far as Big Day Kahuna is concerned, the Torah describes Big Day Kahuna at the end of Shavuos as l'kavod l'sifares. The coin has to appear in a beautiful way, and in all these cases, it's not the proper appearance. He's got lichluch, he's got dirt on it, it's an old beged, it's a ripped beged. In all these cases, it's not lekovet l'tiferes. And in the first cases, the previous cases, we had a chatzitza, it's not al besoro. Or, for example, he adds or subtracts from the begadim, or he adds another beged. In all these cases, avodasa psula. And we've already derived from the pasuk v'haisa kuhuna, all of that, he needs the begadim in order to make himself into a kohen for the avoda, because otherwise, if it's not v'haisa lem kuhuna, then he's considered like a zar. Om Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel Mirushalim, if the big day kuhuna too long, ksherim, however, misulok, if they're too short, psulim. Now, we just established in the Braisa that in the cases where it's not kemidoso, then although l'chatchila, he shouldn't have worn those begadim, but b'di'eved, his avoda is an avoda k'shera. V'asanya, the Gemara immediately raises the objection against Rabbi Yehuda Mishmur, misulokim k'sherim. What you said about Mirushalim, that's fine. If it's too long, it's kosher. That can be reconciled with the Braisa. That reflects the Braisa. But Mesulokim Psulim, that's against the Braisa. Omar Rami Bar Chama Lo Kasha Kan Shesilkon Al Yidei Avdei Kan De Lesnehu Mei Karaklal. In the case of the Braisa where Mesulokim Aksherim, which means that even though they're too short, the beged is kosher. That's a case where it was manufactured to fit the size of the kohen. Why is it too short? He lifted up his trousers in such a way that when he tied his belt, the trousers were lifted up, and therefore they don't reach the ground. It's mesulakim. It's too short. but at least the beged itself is appropriate for the size, reflects the size, and is suitable to this kohen, and therefore, even though he wore it in a way that it looks misulakim, be the evidence kosher. But Khan, when Shmuel says that misulakim is psulim, it means the ikar, when it was produced, when it was manufactured, it wasn't fit for this kohen. It was made for a shorter kohen, not for a law, not for a taller kohen. Rav Omar, Rav says, Echad Zeh v'Echad Zeh, whether it's begadim Yerushalim that are too long, or whether it's Mesulakim that's too short, and we're assuming that the way it was produced, it's too long or it's too short, is Psulim. Now again, if we're talking about in the Brice, as we said before, that Misulakim aksherim because it was produced to the right size, and let's say in the case of Mirushalim, in the case of Mirushalim, it's kosher because we ignore the extra cloth that offers or presents a length that goes beyond the length of this kohen. That's according to the Braisa. But again, Rav is saying echad zeh v'echad zeh, that this halach k'midasa shel kohen seems to be likuva, and it's got to be appropriate for his size. And that's why both in the case of Mirushalim and in the case of Misulakim, whether it's too long or too short, it's possible. That doesn't seem to reflect the Braisa. So the Gemara now, in order to clarify the Braisa and Shmuel and Rav, the Gemara tells the following story. Rav Huna Ikla L'Argiza. Rav Huna ended up in a place called Argiza. Ramalei, and he was staying in an inn, and the Bar Ushpazichne, you know, it's the son of the innkeeper who owned the hotel, Ramalei asked him a question. So this is a question from the Ben, the son of the Balabayas, to Rav Huna, who was staying in his father's inn. Mi Amar Shmuel, how could Shmuel possibly say that Mirushalim Ksherim Misulakim Psulim Vasanya Misulakim Ksherim? Amar Leis Rav Huna says Barmine, that he take that cash and throw it out. Dishanya Rami Bar Chama, you already have an answer from Rami Bar Chama that Shmuel was talking about a case where it was chasim eikaro, it was too short for him from the get-go, the way it was manufactured. The Bryce is talking about a case where the avnet lifted up his begadim. But if you want to ask me a question, ela l'rav kash, you should ask me a question on the sheet of Rav, because Rav passels even Mirushalim. The Bryce was machshir not only Misulakim, but even Mirushalim. The chitem, and if you'll say, well, I can reconcile the Braisa with Rav, my Mirushalim. Why did the Braisa Machshir? Why did it say the Mirushalim when it's too long, it's okay? And the answer is Misulakim al Yidei Avnet. In other words, that even though, as far as the manufacturer's size is concerned, this pair of mitnasayim is too long for this particular kohen, but nevertheless, since he lifts up the beged, the trousers by tying his belt, his avnet, is the tana of the brisol's avnet megaz ogis. The avnet itself is considered as if it cuts off the bottom, the extra cloth on the bottom, and therefore it doesn't have a din of Mirushalim, because the Avnet accomplishes cutting off the extra cloth. And when Rav passels Mirushalim, that's because he wasn't lifting up the trousers from the floor by tying his belt around it. So it's Negrorim, it's dragging on the ground. So Ella, but the problem is, if you're going to say that, is Misulakim Kasha, what are you going to do with the Braisa that is Machshir Misulakim? Because Misulakim means that it doesn't fit his body. So what are you going to tell me? Well, it does fit his body, but like we said, according to Shmuel, he, as a result of the fact that he tied it, he lifted it up. But wait a second. Rav is of the opinion that the Avdin accomplishes Megaz Ogiz, which means that the power and the ability of the Avdin is to cut it down to size. But in the case of Misulakim, that's not going to help you. What are you going to tell me? That according to Rav, the Tana holds that if you misalik al yidei avnet, it's like it's nechtach. And yet the Tana, the Brisa, says that misulakim is ksherim. So if he was misalik the beged, which really fit him, by tying his belt around, then it's as if he cut off part of the beged, and it still remains misulakim. How could the Brisa therefore be machshir on Rav Zera? Rav has a different reading of the Brisa. Chadatani. The Brisa is not to be read as two separate cases, Merushalim and Misulakim. But rather, there's only one case here of Merushalim, and the Brisa is addressing the case of Merushalim Shesilkan. That's how you read the Brisa. That he in effect cut down this lengthy beged by what? By cutting it off with the avne, by tying the belt around in such a way that it lifted up his begadim, is ksherim because of the principle of megas gaius. But enochinam, if you ask me about misulakim, for sure the brisa would have passed misulakim because it doesn't fit the size of the kohen. And even if it manufacturally it does fit the size of the kohen, once he pulls it up by the result, by tying the belt, it's already megas gaius. It's considered like he cut it off. And now the Gemara wants to claim that the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, as far as Merushalim is concerned, is really, in the root of it, it's a machlokas tanoim as far as tzitzis is concerned. So again, let's just go over this. Merushalim means that it's dragging on the ground, and yet, according to Shmuel, and that was the Pashas in the Brice as well, Merushalim Ksherim. We don't care about the extra length. Rav says Merushalim Apsulim. And if the Mishnah is Machshim Merushalim, that's through the principle of Megas Gaius, only because of the power of the Avnet. But left alone in its natural manufactured state, it's possible according to Rav. And Shmuel says it's kosher. And that's going to be a Machlokas in Tzitzis. Tanoihi, Desanya, we learned in the Brisa. The question here is, in the midst of tzitzis, in Dvarim Chaf Beis, which we read twice a day in Kriyat Shema, it says that we have to wear tzitzis. And in Parashas Ki Teitse, the Torah says, G'dilim tasa l'cha al arba kanfos ksuscha, asher techasa ba. And the Torah requires a beggar that has four corners. Says the Raisa, Arba velo shalosh. Arba and not three. So the Gemara says, O eno ela arba velo chamesh. Maybe the Torah is excluding if it has an extra fifth corner. So now we go back to the pasuk. There's the three extra words of the pasuk. Asher techasaba. That's a ribui. Kshu ome asher techasaba. It's coming to add Hare Balas Chamesh. That even if it has a fifth corner, it's also Chayv in Tzitzis. Nu Hamani Mekayim Arba. So why, if you tell me five is okay, so why does the Torah have to go out of its way to limit it to four? Arba Velo Shalosh. To exclude the case of three corners. Ma Rois L'Rabos Balas Chamesh L'Hotzi Balas Shalosh. You have here, on the one hand, a miut of Arba. It's got to be Arba. On the other hand, you have a Riba Asher Techasaba. Why do you use Asher Techasaba to expand to a fifth corner? Why not use Asher Techasaba to expand to a three-cornered garment? Marba Ni Balas Chamesh Yesh B'chal Chamesh Arba. In other words, I can consider this beggar that has five corners as a beggar that has four corners plus one extra corner, but it has four corners. In other words, he only has three corners, he doesn't have four corners. So it's more logical to assume that if the Torah is giving us a ribui, it's telling us that the extra kanov is completely superfluous. and it doesn't undermine the chiyuv tzitzis that was generated by the four knafos. On the other hand, the miyud of arba is coming to exclude a case of a beggar that only has three knafos. But that's one particular braisa. The Tanya either we have another braisa that says, when it says in the pasuk Gedilim Taslcha Arba Kanfos Ksuscha, is Arba Velo Shalosh, Arba Velo Chamesh. That the pasuk Arba excludes anything less than four, which is three, anything more than four, which is five. So we have Machlokas Tanoim in two different braises. What's the status of a beggar with five knafos? Is it chayv in tzitzis or it's not? Again, we're going to have to always ask, according to the second braisa, that even five is excluded and is part of tzitzis. So what's the ribui of a shetachasib? Okay, we'll get to that later. But at this point, the Gemara wants to get down to the brass tacks. B'mai komifli, what are they arguing about in the case of a beggar that has five knafos? My la b'ha komifli. Mar sovar. According to the first braisa, who says that even a beggar of five knafos is chayv in tzitzis, yeser kiman. No, I'm sorry. According to the second braisa, who says that even a beggar of five knafos, even though it has four plus one, is posel as far as the chayv tzitzis, yeser kiman de isadom. We have to relate to the fact that it has a fifth kanof, and that fifth kanof makes it into a five kanof beged. Umar sover, but the first braisa that says that a balas chamesh knofos is chayim in tzitzis, he says, kiman de lesser dami. We don't have to relate to the fifth kanof. We can ignore it as if it doesn't exist. And all we need is the first four knofos to say it's chayim in tzitzis. And the Gemara now wants to make an analogy to Big Day Kahuna Merushalim. And that's where Yirmiya wants to suggest that the machlokas here of Big Day Kahuna Merushalim with his extra cloth that's dragging on the ground it's too long for this kohen. The issue here is whether or not Yeser Kiman de Isadomi or Yeser Kiman de Lesadomi. Meaning the Mandi Omar, which is Shmuel, who says that Merushalim is kosher, he says, yes, it commands the lesser dummy. It fits the coin and is extra cloth. Ignore the extra cloth. It's as if it doesn't exist. The Mandi Omar, which is Rav, who says that Merushalim is posel, he says, yes, sir, kiman de isadomi. We have to consider the entire beged as it exists. We can't ignore the extra piece, and if it's not, kividosa shel kohen. Lo, the Gemara rejects this. The Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, the isadomi. Both prices hold that the yesa, the extra part, is isa. It exists. We can't ignore it. So therefore, a talis balas chamesh should definitely be potter from tzitzis. But the first price says the balas chamesh is chayim in tzitzis. Shani hoch, this is different. The rabbi rachmona shetachasava, because of the extra ribuy of shetachasava v'idoch. What about the Tana who authored the second Bryce, and he holds that this talis is potamitz, it's higher shetachasaba my Ovid Bey? What is he going to do with the extra words of shetachasaba mi boile lichidisanya for the Bryce of her isem oso? And the question now is, what's the status of a beged that's being worn? It's designated by a blind person, Rachman al-San, who can't see. And the Torah says, who isem oso, you have to see the beged and the tzitzis. So according to this braisa, Reisim Osa's Prat Liksus Laila, a beggar that's designated for night use, like pajamas, at a time in which, again, you don't have electricity, it's impossible to see the beggar, it's pitch black, it's not Reisim Osa. So now he counter argues, he says, oh, Eino, let me play the devil's advocate, El Prat Liksus Suma. Maybe if this beggar is designated for the use of a Suma, that's not Re'isim Oso, but Ksus Laila at least is worn by people who can see the beggar, at least during the day. So the answer is Kshu Omer Shetachasaba. For this, the Rice says, I need the extra Revi Shetachasaba, Ksus Suma Omer, to include the Ksus of a Suma, it's Chayim and Tzitzamani, Makayim Re'isim Oso. So when the Torah requires Re'ia, what is it coming to exclude? Prat Ksus Laila. Umar Royes, La Rabbis Ksusuma Lahotzi Ksus Laila. Why not say the other way around? Marbani Ksus, right? I might want to say that let's use the Ribui for a Ksus Laila and the Miut for Ksusuma. Just the opposite. Shatachasiba is teaching you that even Ksus Laila is Chayim and Re'isim also is excluding a Ksusuma. So the more answer is no. It's more logical to say that the miut of Arisim also is to exclude Ksus Laila. And the ribui is to include Suma, because let's talk about the Beged itself. Marabani Ksus Suma, Sheyeshna Re'iyat Zacherim. If I isolate the Beged, the Heft of the Beged, it lends itself to Re'iyah for other people, just that this person never can see it. But Motzi Ani Ksus Laila, Ksus Laila, which is dedicated to a time period where Einab Re'iyah, nobody sees it, it's at night, it's nightwear, is therefore excluded under the law of Re'isim Oso. Now the Gemara wants to clarify the Idach, the Tana, in that Brisa who holds Asher Techasaba is Chayav in Tzitzis. If it's a five-cornered garment, what is he going to do with a case of Ksusuma? He doesn't have the Ribui of Asher Techasaba for Ksusuma. Nafkalei me Asher. It says Asher Techasaba. The Asher is extra. It could have said Techasaba. And the Asher is coming to be Marbe Eksusuma. The Idach, according to Maniomer, who says that a talus that has five corners, is Potemi Tzitzis, and he uses Asher Techasaba to include Ksusuma. What does he do with Asher? Asher Lo Darish. He doesn't have anything to do with Asher. Asher is part of Hebrew grammar, and according to the rules of Drasha, you don't derive anything from the Pasuk, from the extra word Asher. Now the Gemara quotes a Braisa, which gives us some more of the details about Big Day Kahuna. Tana Rabbanan, what do the begadim have to be made of? Now, the word bad is used by the Torah over and over again, at least five times, to describe Big Day Kahuna. And there's a whole list of psukim which we can go through, michnasei bad, etc., etc. And each time the Torah uses the word bad, we derive another principle from that word bad. Number one, bad sheyu shel butz. This is absolutely critical that the Big Day Kahuna have to be made of flax, of pishtan. Bad sheyu chadoshim. A bad indicates that it's brand new, it's crispy new. And bad sheyu shizurim. There have to be strands of flax, threads of flax that are wrapped around each other and twisted around. And how many? Bad, sheyu, chutim, kofel, shisha. They have to have six twisted threads. Bad, shalo yilbash, shalchol, imahem. Bad is understood to be livad. Only these begadim and not extra begadim. Don't put on your winter coat on top of it all. And the pasuk in Vayikra Aleph, pasuk Ches says, "V'orchu bnei Aaron haKohanim." It says, "Kohen Hejot is if he adds a beged of a Kohen Gadol, his avodah is psula." It could be that's because he's adding a beged kahuna. We need the word bad in order to teach us that even if he adds a beged chol, that's also going to be yeser begadim. So how many different halachas? We have five different halachas that we derive from bad. Let's just go over them very quickly. Number one, you need pishta. Number two, you need new begadim. Number three, it's got to be threads that are twisted. Number four, it's got to be a minimum of six threads that are twisted. And number five, that he doesn't add an extra beged. The Gemara asks, Omerlei Abayla Rav Yosef Bishlema, I can understand the drasha from the word bad, sheyu shel butz. And what this drasha is teaching me is that a kamashbalon butz in midiachrina lo, so let's say you made the Big Day Kahuna from wool, it would be posel. Elabad sheyu chadoshim, does that mean chadoshim in shchokim lo? After all, Vahasani, we had a brisa that says Meshuchakim Ksherim, that even if it's old, it's still kosher. Amaleser of Yosef responds to Abayi L'taymech, according to your understanding of this brisa, is Bad Sheyu Chutim Kofel Shisha Bad Chad Chad L'chudei Mashma. How do we understand all these dinim that are listed here in the Braisa? Are we saying they're all ma'akev in the avoda, that the essential definition of bad is that it has to be made of flax and it can't be old, it's got to be new, it's got to be kafel shisha. And this is very strange because the pasuk says bad, which implies one bad. And now you're telling me, no, you need six different threads that are twisted together. Ella hachikar. Let's understand the brayse in the following way. Begadim shenemer ben bad, tzrichim shushal butz. Number one, it says bad, that means butz. That means it's made of flax. Chadoshim shizurim shiyehei chutam kafel shisha yesh mehem lemitzvah yesh mehem liakev. The listing, the enumeration of this brayse can be divided up into two categories. It's not all miksha achas. It's not all made of the same cloth. Pardon the pun. But rather, some alechatchila, for example, that should be chadoshim, and that's not derived from the word bad. But there are other dinim, like for example, not only does it have to be made of boots, but it has to be shazur, it's got to be twisted with six threads. That's already li'akev. These are not begodim unless they have those qualities. These are essential. And those dinim are derived from the word bad, for the meaning of the word bad. Again, we're going to have to see exactly how that works out. So in other words, if we only had lekovel l'sifferes, which it says at the end of Shmos to describe the big day kahuna, then we would have to beautify the begadim, and that would be a kind of a hider mitzvah halacha, but it's not likuva. But on the other hand, when it says that it has to be made of pishon of flax, that's the mashmos hakosav. That's what bad is all about. And once we know that bad means pishton, we know that it's got to be made of pishton. And we're going to learn from the fact that it's made of pishton, it has to be shizurim, because the Torah, when it talks about pishton, it calls it sheish mashzar, which means they need shizurim. That's what the word mashzar means. Now, the din that it has to be chutim kafel shisha, that the Gemara in Yuma is going to derive from psukim that all the begadim say sheish, and that means sheish kafel chutim kafel sheish. All these are included in the very definition of the structure of the makeup of the big day kahuna, and that's likuva, but something like chadoshim, that's only to enhance the lekavod l'sifares, and it's a heder mitzvah, but it's not likuva. The Gemara asks the obvious question: Mimai dahai bad kisna? Who told you that the word bad means pishton? Om Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, davra ole min akarka bad bebad. The meaning of the bad is that it comes up from the stalk as one. When it grows as one single stem. And that's pishton. What's unique about flax is that every single stem is unto itself. It's a givol echad levad. That's called bad bibad. That's each stalk is alone. So the Gemara argues, but ema amra, what about wool? When it grows on the back of a sheep, each hair is it grows as a single hair. So that could also fulfill the requirement of bad bibad. The Gemara answers, amra miftzal. Each hair that comes out of the back of the sheep, while it's on the animal, it splits into many different hairs. So it's not bad bibad. The Gemara says, kisna nami miftzal. You could also take flax, a stalk of flax, give olea pishton, and you do what's called ktisha right before you weave them, and you smash the givol until it splits into many different threads. Al yidei lakusa miftzal. So Gemara says, wait a minute. In its natural state, each givol, each stalk grows on its own in a singular way. It's bad bibad. You take a certain kli, lakusa, which is something made out of, it's a like a thing that you hit with a wooden, I don't know what you call it, to bang it, and you bang away at the flax, and then you split it up into different pieces, different threads. So in its natural state, it grows as one. In the case of pounding it and after you smash it gets separate, that's something different. In the case of tzemer, the saros mischalkos pi odom al gabeim, in the natural form, the hairs growing out of the back of the sheep split into many different threads. That's not bad bibad. Ravina says, you know what? I have a source in Tanakh, not in Chumash, to prove that bad means pishtan. Mehacha. Pasuk in Yechezkel Memdal. We read it in this week's Haftorah, which is dedicated, a perek in Yechezkel Memdal, dedicated to the laws of Kohanim. It says, Pe'eri, Pe'ere, Pishtan Yu al Rosham. Pe'ere are the crown, so to speak, that you wear on your head, the Migba'ot of the Kohanim. That's called Pe'er. Rashi, the Ramban, points this out at the end of Shmos. And they have to be made of Pishtan. So that's as far as the turban that he wore on his head. U'michnasei Pishtan Yu'al Masneya. And the trousers have to be made of Pishtim. Then it says, Lo Yachburu Biyaza. We'll have to figure out what those words mean. The word Biyaza doesn't appear anywhere in Tanakh. But in any event, as far as Michnasayim, the Torah in Vayikra Vav calls it Michnasay Bad. And the Novi says that it's Michnasay Pishtan. Apparently, Bad means Pishtan. Amalei Rav Ashi, Ravina, Ad Yossi Yecheskel Binolan. From the time that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah, and the Kohanim were working and serving in the base in the Mishkan, until many centuries later Yechezkel came on the scene, how did they understand the word bad? You're telling me, Ravina, that Yechezkel is the one who revealed the true meaning of bad. So what did they think, and what did they do before Yechezkel? So one good question deserves another, and Ravina is going to fire back another question of Ash. He's going to give you another case of a halacha which is only understood. In other words, the Torah Shemaksav is not clear until we get to Yechezkel, within the context of the Avodas HaKohen in the Beis HaMikdash. Ulatameich, why didn't you ask the following question? Hadi Amar Rav Chizda, later on at Daf Chav Beis, is going to say Dover Zeh Mitaris Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamadnu Midiri Yecheskel Membuzi Lamadnu. We're talking about the question of an Orel. The Kohen, let's say he lost Nebuch, two of his brothers died because of Mila, so he, the third, is not going to be subject to Mila. He's an Orel, and he's Pasul Avoda. And it doesn't say anything in the Torah of Moshe, in the Torah Shemaksav, the five Chumshei Torah, anything about an Oral being Pasul Avoda. We only know it from Yechezkel ben Buzi. Because again, in that same chapter in Yechezkel ben Dalet, it says, Komar Hashem Elokim, Kol. Now watch what goes on. There's a list here of three categories of individuals who, Lo Yavol Mikdashi, they cannot be Mishareis in the Beis HaMikdash. Number one is Ben Nechar. Number two is an Orel Lev. And number three is an Orel Basar. So Ben Nechar, we understand. He's not part of our nation. Then we have an Orel Lev. He's a Mumar. He's a Kohen who has Orelus HaLev, meaning he is a Rasha. And then we have an Orel Basar. That's already an Orel as we know it, because he has Orla, means he was not circumcised. But in any event, Ad Sheba Yechezkel Minolan, what was the status of a Kohen Orel during this entire historical period from the time of the Torah being given until Yechezkel came along? Ella. But the answer is Yechezkel is not revealing new halachas, but rather Gemara Gmirale. Already when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah at Har Sinai, he was given orally the halacha that was transmitted orally as halacha l'Moshe. You see, v'yasi Yechezkel v'yasmechei akra. All Yechezkel did was support it with a pasuk. So we didn't know what the status of an oral is from the written Torah. We knew it from the oral Torah, the oral tradition that was transmitted by Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai. That's called halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai, Gemara Gmirale. Hachinami, says Ravina, the same logic should apply here with regard to the question of bad. What are the big dekuna made of? What material? The answer is they're made of flax. How do we know this? Well, we knew it from the time that Moshe brought the Torah down from Har Sinai, as Allah Moshe be seen in Gemara Gmirale. However, Yechezkel came along and supported it in the pasuk. And that's all that we have to say over here. But we know from Halacha Moshe Sinai that bad means pishtan, and therefore the only material that can be used for Big Day Kahuna is flax. Okay, we'll stop here on the bottom of Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis. And the Gemara now is going to ask, what is the end of that pasuk about Big Day Kahuna, where Yechezkel says Lo Yachberu Biyaza, that when they put on the belt, they shouldn't do it Biyaza. We don't know what the word Biyaza means, and that Amir Shem will figure out in the next year.